From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Back in 2016, when I became editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, people started asking me this question over and over again. And it was, what is the thing that all successful entrepreneurs have in common? Like, what's the common quality? So I spent a while thinking about this and researching and talking to people, and then I came to an answer, and it is adaptability. The most successful entrepreneurs are very good at change. They understand that change can be an opportunity. They don't shy away from it. And so I have been talking about that ever since. I am sure you've heard me, if you listen to the show a lot, you've heard me talk about it so many times, how important change is. But I will tell you something kind of personal. When change comes to you, even if you're the guy who talks a lot about how important change is, it's still pretty hard and scary. And you put it off for a while. And that is something that I did. And today, I want to tell you the story of my own change. And then also have you hear from one of the people who helped me get through it and who has a lot of excellent perspective on how to do it. So, okay, here's the thing. You might know this if you've been a longtime listener of the show, or in fact, if you just heard the previous episode. I once hosted a podcast called Pessimist's Archive. Now, Pessimist's Archive gained a large and loyal listenership. It got lots of media coverage, and that success helped me ignore a problem that I knew about, but I honestly just wished would have gone away. And the problem was this. The show's name was turning people off. I first heard about it from fans. They would share the show with friends who would then refuse to listen to the show. And the friends would say, Pessimist Archive, this sounds like a bummer. I don't want to listen to that. And that was bad because the show was not a bummer, not at all. The show is supposed to be fun and optimistic. It was about how naysayers throughout history are proven wrong. It's a show about how we were shaped by the things from the past and fears from the past and how we can now harness what we have and create a better tomorrow. And to do that through all sorts of really fun storytelling, like why were people freaking out about the teddy bear in 1907? National moral crisis about the teddy bear. And then also what good can come from a pandemic? And why do people hate being told what to do, but how do you change their behavior anyway? This is what this show is about. Really big, awesome, fundamental questions about change in a fun storytelling manner. Anyway, I was thinking, all right, well, I mean, I guess people don't like the name, but what can I do? The name is the name. I chose the name. And so years went by like that, where I would hear that the name was problematic, but I would just keep doing it. And instead, what I would do to try to fix it was I just kept trying to change the language. Is there a way that I could describe the show differently? Can I introduce the show differently? Can I change the description of the show? Can I change the logo of the show? Like, what can I do without actually changing the name? But finally, I realized I had to change the name. And the reason that finally pushed me was this. So I hired Pen Name Consulting, this consulting company, to help me grow the show and to understand my audience better. I thought I knew my audience very well, but they wanted to do this deep dive. They put out this survey and then offered $50 Amazon gift cards to anyone willing to hop on the phone and answer questions. And this brilliant researcher on their team named Rochelle, she asked my fans, like, what do you like about the show? But also, what don't you like? Why don't you listen more? Why don't you recommend more? And two critical insights came out of this. So first, they said they liked the show because it helped them feel more resilient about the future. And this stunned me because I thought of the podcast as like a history show, but people were saying that it was relevant to their own lives. That was so interesting and useful. And then the second thing was that the name was a real problem. Like, they almost didn't listen to the show the first time. They heard about it because of the name. And, you know, this is interesting because this is the opposite reason of why they want to listen. The show sounded like a bummer, but they were turning to it for optimism. And so I realized, okay, if I need to grow, I need to do this thing that I've been afraid of for a long time. I need to say, okay, this thing that I thought was an asset is holding me back. And even though lots of people know the show by that name, even though I've gotten a lot of press with that name that's unchangeable, I'm going to have to change it. And so then I started to do that with guidance from this guy.
part of the first process is essentially outlining what is this business going to be, who am I targeting, and if I'm doing it well, which is the goal, where is it going to go?
So that's my friend Adam Bornstein. He may be a familiar name to you because he's shown up on this show before. He also writes a column for Entrepreneur Magazine, and he runs Pen Name Consulting, which is the consulting company that I hired to help me. And so Adam and his team have been with me this whole journey as I've made this change. And by the way, the change is done. The change is done. Pessimists Archive podcast no longer exists. It is now called Build for Tomorrow. So I would love, I'd be over the moon if you checked out Build for Tomorrow, the podcast, because it's a great show and I spend a lot of time making it. And I think that you would enjoy it. Anyway, today on Problem Solvers, here's what I want to do. I sat down with Adam to kind of debrief our own experience, but at the same time to draw out lessons for you and for any change journey that you may be going on, because the things that I experienced are things that everybody experiences about not thinking about how the thing that we're creating is going to scale and exactly what our audience needs and how to brace ourselves for that and adapt to it. And so I want to give you a window into my own experience by talking with Adam and sharing what we went through and what you may have to go through too. So that's what's happening on this episode of Problem Solvers. It is at once the tale of how I rebranded from Pessimist Archive to Build for Tomorrow, and also how you may just need to make some kind of big change too. Coming up after the break. Our socially distant world has changed many things, including how sales are done. Sales teams are now constantly looking for an edge in a virtual world. So how can you take it to the next level and exceed your 2021 sales goals? Try LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It is the best version of LinkedIn for sales professionals. With this tool, you can tap into the power of LinkedIn's 700 million plus member network. LinkedIn Sales Navigator gives you 20 monthly in-mail messages, lead recommendations, unlimited searches, actionable insights and news, and access to free courses on LinkedIn Learning. With LinkedIn Sales Navigator, you can target the right prospects and decision makers, and the numbers speak for themselves. 15% more pipeline from sourced opportunities, 17% lift when saving leads on Sales Navigator, and 42% larger deal sizes. So start your 60-day free trial of LinkedIn Sales Navigator today by going to linkedin.com/problem. That is linkedin.com/problem to start your 60-day free trial of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. linkedin.com/problem. All right, we're back. So today it is me talking with my friend Adam Bornstein of Pen Name Consulting. At once about how we went through a rebranding project together, turning the old Pessimist Archive podcast into Build for Tomorrow, but also the lessons anybody can draw from that about how to go through a big change yourself. Here is my conversation with Adam. So Adam, we are talking about how to pivot your brand identity, which I am going through right now, and you are, because I'm dragging you along in my own journey here. And it occurs to me that before we get into what tangibly people should do and what I have been doing, we should talk about what actually should have happened a long time ago at the beginning of the formation of the brand identity, which is that I should have, and I suppose this probably happens to many other people, should have thought about how this thing scales, how it might feel later, if a name and an identity that I chose boxes me in to future evolution. What's your advice there?
Yeah, I think the big thing with any business is it is hard to separate the moment where you get a good idea and something that you really think you can do well and make work, and then where it's going to go, right? Because the moment of the excitement of, wait a second, I can pull this off, creates so much momentum that you almost don't want to lose the momentum. So you act, and you try to bring this thing to life, right? The idea, and you hear so many entrepreneurs talking about it, like if your first product is perfect, like you've taken too long, right? You need to kind of like fail into some of success. But that doesn't mean that you skip some of the necessary processes. And whether it's a podcast or a business or a product or whatever it might be, part of the first process is essentially outlining what is this business going to be? Who am I targeting? And if I'm doing it well, which is the goal, where is it going to go? And where do I want to take it? and it's really important we can dive into this, those things can change. But if you're not picturing your idea becoming a success and how that changes things, what are you doing creating in the first place, right? It's not just enough to bring it to life, which is such a huge accomplishment, but really plan for it because that's going to have such a huge impact on all the things you do during those initial steps.
Yeah, you know, so that's interesting. It makes me think in this very specific way about a problem that I caused for myself, which, so there was the name, which I totally, now that you say it, I hadn't really thought about this that way, but I hadn't thought about how this thing would be a success and then who it might reach if it was successful, and then how that might, how the name might be confusing to the people who I'm reaching because it's successful. And then another thing that I did was in the naming of the episodes, where I created this structure where I would name an episode just something like really plain and generic that wasn't inviting. Like the first episode was about the history of the Walkman and how people were resistant to it. I just called it Walkman. And then there was another episode about, like,
I edit a magazine for a living. Here's my title.
Why don't we use the skills we have? There was another fascinating episode about the history of coffee and 500 years of people banning it and government reactions to it. And I just called it coffee. And it wasn't until we started working together that it was brought up that this might be a barrier to entry for people. I think back then I thought, well, people will just naturally come to this. But I hadn't really thought about, if this thing is a success, how is what I'm doing now creating a barrier to people coming and finding me? And so the framework that you're laying out here, I point that out to say that this is something that isn't just about the brand identity, but it's about all the little decisions that you make along the way too.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is you can fall, and most people do, on like one of two ends of a spectrum, right? You get the people who overbrand everything. It's all about the brand to the point that it becomes like a mockery of itself. It's like, what's the actual substance? And then on the other end, you get the people who are creators and creatives. And like you put, and this happens so often, you put so much time and effort into doing the research and writing the script and nailing the story and creating really compelling content, which at the end of the day allowed the podcast to become a big success. But only focusing on that also limited how many people it would reach. And it's important to know that when you're doing this, just make sure you almost like create a few checkboxes of like, all right, I've made this product amazing. Have I made it easy to understand what this product or this podcast in this case is about? Has each individual episode, have I really encompassed what it is, right? You would never put out a magazine article just called coffee, but that's because you know that your job is fundamentally to know your audience, to know the content that's within it, and to create context within what is going on in the universe and the rest of that publication to know, how do I do this? And I think you never want to get so myopic that you just pour all of your heart into the what you create itself and not think about what that creation needs to breathe and grow and live and just reach more people.
Yeah. So let's talk about some solutions. If someone is thinking, okay, I've built something, it's not achieving what I set out to, and I think that I have built some of those problems in for myself, where do they begin? And actually, you know what? I just asked you, where do they begin? But now I'm going to actually propose a possible beginning because this is something that you did for me early, which is that your team dug into the audience in this really fascinating way. I thought I knew my audience because I read emails that people sent me or saw tweets or whatever, but you guys went out and interviewed people and asked them strategic questions about what they liked and what they didn't like, and came away with all sorts of really valuable insights that helped me understand what people were getting from the thing that I was producing, and also what they saw as barriers to entry for themselves or for other people. And I say that as a way of putting it to you as one of the first steps, and this feels so fundamental that it's almost obvious and stupid to say out loud, but it was also a revelation when I did it, which is really understand your audience in a kind of deep strategic way. Can you broaden that out for me?
Yeah, I think if you are going to make a change, or you're at least going to ask yourself a few fundamental questions of what do I do now? What do I do next? You want to start with data. And I think the mistake that people make is they think that data is like, I need to A/B test a headline. And when you're going to make a big change, right? Like changing a name or changing a brand or pivoting with a new direction. You don't want to make a decision based on something as superficial as like, do people click a headline or a name more often? Because there's so many things that go into that that could give you a false positive. You can leverage data, but I think for any brand, it is invaluable to talk to the people who are listening to this or watching it or using it, and talk to the people who are not. And do so, we use a method called Jobs to be Done. We have someone on our team, Rochelle, who I just refer to her as like a forensic psychologist. She just like gets into understanding people. And the key with Jobs to be Done and really great line of questioning is leaving things open-ended. The difficulty with when you speak to people is leading them to answers that you want or leading them in a direction that doesn't necessarily give you open insights. And one of the amazing things with Pessimist Archive was when we really started digging in, we started to understand like how people were reacting or what they thought of the name, what people would find out when they tried to share the podcast with people and be like, oh man, I don't need to want a show about pessimism. And I think super important for you was what people were taking away from it. You're giving a show about history, but for the people who loved it, for the people who would tell the whole world about it, it wasn't about history to them. It was about resilience and change and becoming better. And I think that was so eye-opening for you, not only for what the audience was taking from it, but also what you needed to do with the show.
Yeah. So the history part, this was an interesting lesson for me. And I didn't know what to do with this particular thing that I'm going to tell you until we started working together. And I tell this to you and to our listeners now as a way of saying, when you see a problem, don't ignore the problem. Don't think that the problem is solved simply by shifting some words around, because that's what I thought. I was like, I just don't have the words. Anyway, what it was that I used to, and again, this is about a podcast, but it really could be about anything. I used to introduce the show with this particular line. I would say a history show about why people resist new things. And then eventually I realized, oh, wait, people aren't just coming to this because of the history. So maybe the word history doesn't resonate with them. And then I literally had no idea how to describe the show. And so I started using a different description at the very beginning of the show. I'd be like, this is Pessimist Archive. I'm Jason, a show about whatever, whatever. And then I would use like a different line every single time. And if you have a brand, if you have a product, if you have anything, and you can't figure out how to succinctly explain it to people, then I didn't realize at the time, but really the problem was that I didn't understand who it was that I was reaching and what kind of value I was trying to provide for them. And that entire, which is really a gigantic fundamental problem, was manifesting in this way in which I couldn't figure out what the tagline of the show was. What do you recommend people do when they have their own version of that, which is something that should feel simple, something that is rooted into the basic communication of the thing that you're doing, and you're having a problem with it, and you don't know what that problem represents, but you know it's probably deeper than I just can't figure out the few words to say. Where do I begin?
Yeah, I mean, part of that is exactly what you just described was the goal of Jobs to be Done. And not everyone's necessarily going to go through a Jobs to be Done framework, but that is figuring out like, what is the job that this thing is doing for people? And we oftentimes, even the most basic thing, like if you tell people like, I need to hang a picture and I need a hammer, they're like, what's the job of the hammer? And it's like, well, it's to hang the picture. And it's like, well, technically the job of the hammer is to create a hole or to create force. And that little shift of perspective can do so much and to open your mind of the way you think of things. So when we look at branding or creating or marketing, and you're really struggling, this is going to sound so intuitive, but it's really important. I think it's important to have generals, like people that you trust. I know, Jason, you are obviously working with the Pen Name team, but you had a few other people that you've gone out to that are really trusted voices for you, and you were able to be candid. The hardest thing, I think, for any entrepreneur, any business to do is to say the words, I don't know blank, right? Because when you're running it, when it's whether it's your job within a business or it is your business, there's this fundamental expectation that you're supposed to have every single answer. And that is the biggest lie ever told. So when you know, like you were talking about every episode, I'm just coming up with a different tagline. The first thing is to share whatever it is with these generals, the people that you really trust. You can't get too many cooks in the kitchen. These have to be people who their voice really means something. Their opinion has value for a specific reason. Try and get as many experts as possible, whether it's an expert in a podcast or in marketing or in naming, or you just know that they just have the magic touch with this stuff. Find really, really good people, the type of people that you would pay for their time. if you had to, small group and ask them. Say, I don't know blank. Here's my problem. And leave it open-ended. Don't say too much as I am right now. Do not over-talk it. Admit you have a problem. Know why you are going to these people. And then take that information in, ingest it, and process it. And I think most people will be shocked what they find out when they're a little bit vulnerable and just get straight to the point of what the problem is, which you did, right? Wasn't easy, I imagine. You can say, saying, hey, I don't really know what my podcast is supposed to be. I know what I'm creating.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I'm creating.
Hey, I'm just jumping in here for a second to say we are going to take one more short break to hear from a sponsor. When we come back, we're going to talk more about making this change. And also, very importantly, because this comes right out of what Adam just said, also just building inside of yourself that openness for change. I mean, that's where it has to start. Okay, coming up after the break. If you listen to Problem Solvers, then you know that running a business means constantly solving problems. Endless to-do lists, employees to take care of, and your ever-present bottom line. So here's something that'll solve one of those problems right away. It is called Gusto. Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They help over 100,000 businesses with tasks like automated payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration, 401ks, onboarding tools, you name it, Gusto made it easy. And they really care about the small business owners they work with. Their support team is attentive and helpful. And since money can be tight right now, you will even get 3 free months once you run your first payroll. Just go to gusto.com/problem solvers and start setting up your business today. You will see what I mean when I say that it's easy. Again, that's 3 months of free payroll at Gusto. That is G-U-S-T-O, gusto.com/problem solvers. All right, we're back. It is time for more of my conversation with Adam Bornstein about making change and, you know, this point that he had just made about being very aware of what it is that you're creating and who it's for. I make this point when he finishes that, right? Which feels ridiculous. And I suppose a left unsaid there, but I'm going to say it is build an openness in yourself that when you say, I don't know, and you're asking smart people for answers, the answers that they may come back with may lead to radical changes to the thing that you're doing. And you have to be open to that at the start of it, because otherwise they're going to come back with some big idea and it may be an awesome idea, but if you have not braced yourself for some kind of radical change, it's going to sound offensive or overwhelming. And I think that there was probably a time, because this show has been around for 4-something years, there was definitely a time in which I don't think I was ready to hear that stuff. I was like, I know what I'm doing. I like exactly the way that I'm doing it. And if somebody come along and said, well, actually, you need to do is like change the name and change the way that you talk about it and change your idea of who your audience is, I would have said, go screw yourself. But I came to a point in which I realized that these were problems that needed to be fixed and I needed to be open to anything.
I think that's a big part of the equation, right? When you are going through this process for change, and change sometimes requires something pretty dramatic. And I mean, I'm pretty sure you go through this in the podcast itself. Like, we are fundamentally designed to resist change for so many different reasons. This isn't something that is unnatural. But if you're going to get to the point of change, make sure the things that brought you there are substantive enough that if you hear something that is disruptive or difficult or critical, you're in the headspace to be able to process it because you've reached that point. There is this fallacy that like we get impatient, right? And we just start making changes because it's not moving at the pace. Things happened when they did for you and for your show because you had seen enough signs. You had gotten to the point where it wasn't premature. You had to be asking these questions because it was going to determine the future of what you're doing. You put a lot of time and effort in this show. So you don't want to get to the point where you're making changes too early. There should be something there, whether it was the listenership or for you, like this big, like, I'm confused about what this show is. I don't even know how to start the show. That's a huge deal. There should be almost like an oh shit moment. I need to change. And it might not be that dramatic, but if you don't have that oh shit moment, if you hear something dramatic, you're probably going to be less likely to change because of cognitive dissonance, right? This idea of like psychologically, unless there's this like immovable force with this like differing idea, if these things clash, something has to give and you need to be in a position where you're not only willing to change, but you're also ready to change if it's required.
Right, right. The oh shit moment is a humbling moment. It's a moment that prepares you for what comes next because you are forced to ingest the reality that you don't have all the answers, which is a really valuable one. Adam, we've been talking mostly about how to reorient, how to figure out the right direction. Let's say you've gone through that process. You have a sense of who your audience is, how to speak to them, what it is that you have to offer. Where do you suggest that people go next? How do you start rebuilding? How do you start figuring out how to move towards the very tangible big decisions of a rebrand, of a rethink, of a re-something?
Right. So this is the hard part, right? This is where like you make the money or you make this come to life. You're going to hear a lot of things when you reach out to people or when you start talking to your audience or your customers. And this is the moment where you almost stop, you press pause, you put all of these things in a bucket. And then you sit down and you chart, what do I want this to be? Why am I doing this? What am I trying to create? You essentially go back and you do that thing that you should have done in the first place that would have potentially prevented this. But business is an art of evolution, right? Those businesses that continue to evolve and change and adjust are the ones that tend to survive or thrive when they do it at the right point. And all of this information, you don't have to accept all of it, but you do need to consider it. And you almost need to create these two images of here's what people are telling me. This is what my audience is telling me. This is what my trusted generals are telling me. This is what I think. And you try and overlap those and you find a middle ground because everyone doesn't have the answers either. But what they do have are more insight into your blind spots. And if those blind spots still don't align with what you're trying to do, you might find yourself having to go back and ask new questions to people. This stuff takes time. The biggest thing that you can do here that would be a mistake is rushing it. You listen to people, you give them an answer. Like, this has been a long process with you. Mm-hmm. Right? There has been so much back and forth. And one of the biggest considerations was talking to you about, why are you doing this podcast? What are you trying to accomplish? Not just with the podcast, but overall with your life, with your time, and then recalibrate and reconsider, recalibrate and reconsider. If your initial reaction is to rush to judgment based on what you hear, you are making a mistake because a rebrand is a big decision. And I would say that like the pressing pause, the idea of then setting out your goals, writing down what you want it to be, who you want to even be speaking to or creating for. And then if you still have questions, go back and do the process again. This might be a cycle of 2 to 3 processes where it feels repetitive, but all you're doing is narrowing the focus, and you're going to get down to a much more clear answer. And it's going to take time and it's going to be frustrating, but the outcome is going to be 1,000 times better.
Yeah, boy, I really want to double down on that. That is so true. And it has been a long process. And one of the things that I've found is that's been validating is that during the process, I have evolved in how I talk about my work and how I talk about myself. And then I have conversations with people who I don't know who I'm trying to impress in one way or another, right? Like, for example, in the last year, every couple months, I have a conversation with like a talent agent or with some television producer or something. And then I explain what I'm doing. And I remember the earlier conversations that I had maybe at the beginning of 2020, and then the conversations that I'm having now, and they're radically different. And I'm so much better at articulating what it is that I do. And the people who I'm talking to are so much more excited to then work with me. Like, it is a holistic experience. So you can't just fix one project. You literally start to fix everything that touches that project, which is, of course, everything about you. And that has been a very interesting experience. And the more that it's funny. It's like, you know, you laid out this idea of the generals, but you also, it's like you almost want some word that's better than canary in the coal mine, but like they're like these little testers, right? These people in your ecosystem that you touch base with at some point. And it's like what the generals have told you filters through you, and then you go test it out in the real world on people, and then you see how they respond. And that starts to help give you direction of how the whole thing should shift and change. Because if you are seeing a improvement out in the real world, not just on paper, not just in branding that you make and language that you choose, but in the actual real world, when you're like taking your ideas out and you're discussing them with people who are smart and they are having better and better reactions to the thing that you're doing, then you know you're on the right path. And that is such a complicated, holistic experience that it shocks me.
And putting that stuff out, and if it doesn't immediately go on the right path, that's still part of you being on the right path because you're testing and you're thinking about and you're iterating. Jordan, my co-founder at PenName, loves to remind and bring up this idea of Sturgeon's Law, which is essentially, in a very crude way, is saying that like 90% of what is created is just crap and shit. And I'm just like, surely not 90%. He's like, nah, like 90%. And it's important for you to go through this iterative process, right? Because if you just rush to judgment, if you just start doing things because we're reactive rather than really being contemplative and reactive at the same time, we think about it, we adjust, we put it out, and then we pause and adjust. This iterative process allows you to get some of the crap out that is necessary process of doing this to get it right. And just knowing that there is a process, and part of the process sometimes is just like naming episodes coffee, is okay as long as you're asking yourself those questions to get you in the right direction.
Adam, this has been a really useful conversation and an interesting conversation to have after basically living and doing this with you for such a long time. So I just want to end with, like, what is the smallest, simplest thing somebody can do today to test themselves? And so, you know, like maybe this conversation has gotten people thinking, what kind of changes do I need to make? Oh, maybe this thing that has been nagging at me is actually a larger problem. Maybe I'm not thinking as holistically about a change that I'm making. Can you offer just one thing, one place to start, one thread to pull that people can do right now as a way to maybe set themselves on this journey?
Right. I would say that there's two really quick things that you can do. Number one is what you started at the top of the show. Ask yourself, did I ever project where this was going? If so, what did I think? And then revisit that. And if not, what is the vision right now? And how is the work that I'm doing aligning with that? Again, thinking for the future is how you can anticipate these rebrands, anticipate the pivots. Number two is if you've done that and you really still are just like hungry to know, ask yourself, has there been an oh shit moment? Has there been something that's happened that was just eating at you and you just kind of like stuck it under the rug, or you thought it was no big deal? Like, and be honest with yourself and then explore that. Those two things alone can create a gravitational shift, if in nothing else, getting you to focus on bigger picture thinking. And when we get so caught up in the day-to-day of just running things and making it happen, none of us make enough time for the big picture stuff. And if you can stop and pause to do that, you'll be better off because of it.
Perfect. Adam, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jason.
So there's our conversation. I hope it has inspired you to put aside whatever fear of change you might have. And hey, maybe also inspired you to go check out the podcast. Again, one more time, it is called Build for Tomorrow.
And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonpfeiffer.com, JasonPfeiffer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.